This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Welcome. I'm Linda Green, Vice Chancellor for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. This is a wonderful opportunity to welcome you to this event, which is a part of our launch of the celebration of the life and legacy of Cesar Chavez. And we know that as a legacy for workers' rights, a legacy of dedication to human rights, and a legacy of sacrifice in pursuit of the cause of justice. The UC San Diego activities and celebration of this month are numerous. They range from meeting the winner of an essay contest, which focused on Chavez's core values. We also saw three Latina women who received awards for their service and their excellence today at lunch. There will also be lectures on a variety of issues, film, as well as a celebration and rededication of the Mario Torero Chicano Legacy mural at Peterson Hall. And we hope that you will join us for as many of those activities as possible. I came to know of Cesar Chavez in the course of the United Farm Workers Great Boycott during the mid-60s. For many, through his work, we focus for the first time on the people who produce the food we eat and the justice issues embedded in their labor. In June 1972, Cesar Chavez ended a 24-hour fast for farm worker justice. In doing so, he spoke about, quote, the cycle of poverty and misery that was the lot of the Mexican farm workers, and about, quote, the terrible irony it is that the very people who harvest the food we eat do not have enough food for their own children. At the conclusion of an earlier fast in 1968, he offered words to the farm workers that day that seemed to have been crafted for this very day. He said, perhaps in the future we will come together at other times and places to break bread and to renew our courage and to celebrate important victories. He also said that we are a family bound together in a common struggle for justice. Today and through these celebrations and beyond, let's keep his words in mind. We are so lucky to have Ilda Solis here, whose life has exemplified many of the passions of Cesar Chavez. Her life shows that we have an obligation to use our opportunity and talent to further justice and opportunity. It is so great that she is here. Although the program states that I will introduce the Honorable Ilda Solis, I am so thrilled to cede that honor to Dr. Francis Contreras, Professor of Education Studies and co-chair of the UC San Diego Cesar Chavez Month. Professor Contreras.
We are honored to have the Honorable Ilda Solis, former Secretary of Labor of the United States under President Obama's administration, this evening. Her life experiences, background, and achievements represent the hopes and dreams of generations that have come before us, generations that had hoped to play an active leadership role in changing a society that continues to scapegoat immigrants, see bilingualism as a deficit, and reproduce systemic inequities. Secretary Solis is a tireless advocate for the poor, workers, undereducated, and underrepresented students, and personifies the spirit of Cesar Chavez Month on this campus. Secretary Solis was confirmed as Secretary of Labor on February 24, 2009, becoming the first Latina to serve in the United States Cabinet. Prior to confirmation as Secretary of Labor, she represented the 32 congressional district in California, a position she held from 2001 to 2009. In Congress, Solis's priorities included expanding access to affordable health care, protecting the environment, and improving the lives of working families. A recognized leader on clean energy jobs, she authored the Green Jobs Act, which provided funding for green-collar jobs and training for veterans, displaced workers, at-risk youth, and individuals and families under 200% of the federal poverty line. A nationally recognized leader on the environment, Secretary Solis became the first woman to receive the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award in 2000 for her pioneering work on environmental justice issues. Her California environmental justice legislation, enacted in 1999, was the first of its kind in this nation to become law. Secretary Solis was first elected to public office in 1985 as a member of the Rio Hondo Community College District Board of Trustees. She served in the California State Assembly from 1992 to 1994, and in 1994 made history, becoming the first Latina in this state elected to the state Senate. Please join me in welcoming Secretary Hilda Solis.
Buenas noches. Good evening. It's great to be here, and I'd like to begin by thanking Dr. Chosa, the Chancellor of the UC San Diego, and also the Office of Equity, Inclusion, and Diversity, the Office of Student Affairs, the Cesar Chavez Month Committee, and the Helen Edison Lecture Series. And of course, all of you, the faculty, the staff, the students, and community representatives that are here. I can't tell you how proud and how pleased I am to be here this evening to celebrate Cesar Chavez Month with you. I also want to give a shout out to a longtime mentor of mine who is here, Mr. Sanchez, Bob Sanchez, and his wife, who are both here from the local area. And you'll often hear me talk about people who influenced my life, and he's one of those Cesar Chavez heroes. And he's here as a resident that lives in the San Diego area, and has just been an outstanding individual. So thank you for coming. It's a nice surprise to see both of you here. Thank you. Today, my topic is a look at what Cesar Chavez symbolizes in the 21st century. And I'd like to begin the discussion by looking back some 48 years ago. It was during the mid-60s, a time of turbulence and civil unrest around our country. And this is about the time when Cesar Chavez organized the first official National Farm Workers Association, which later became known to you and me as the United Farm Workers, the UFW. Previously, Chavez worked for many, many years as a young organizer with the Community Service Organization, CSO, that was led back at that time by another famous labor leader, Fred Ross Sr. Chavez, as you may know, grew up in Yuma, Arizona, with his entire family who worked in the fields alongside farm workers for many decades. This is where he grew up and experienced firsthand the harsh living conditions faced by many Mexican, Filipino, and Chicano men and women and children picking lettuce, grapes, fruits, and vegetables, and sometimes in the scorching sun or even wet, rainy weather. Toiling in the fields was a common affair, working a minimum of 10 to 12 hours a day, and many times not receiving adequate overtime pay or worker protections. The knowledge of the harms of pesticides was nascent in the nation. Pesticides were sprayed on workers while in the fields and blanketed their living conditions, impacting the health of many of the farm workers. These were extreme working conditions that they faced here in the United States. And Chavez witnessed and lived the injustices faced by many farm worker families, deplorable working conditions, and terrible housing conditions. The minuscule earnings from their hard work would get siphoned away to pay for the dilapidated and sometimes horrendous housing conditions that they had to forego. Under these circumstances, Chavez began his social justice journey to address the plight of farm workers. Little did he know at that time that he would be the hero for thousands of farm workers and change the national narrative on farm workers by influencing labor laws that would change the quality of life for years to come. Chavez knew that this would not be an easy task. Respeto y dignidad, respect and dignity, were cornerstones to the advocacy efforts to lift the national awareness of farm workers. He used his skills and talents to design a strategy that was built upon the experience of other civil rights leaders of the day, much like Dr. Martin Luther King, and who, like Chavez, believed in the notion of nonviolent approaches to addressing social justice issues. Chavez looked to the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi and Jesus Christ. You see, Chavez was a passionate human being who could convey the suffering of his fellow workers because he suffered their pain and hardships. In fact, Chavez once was quoted as saying, "To be a man is to suffer for others. God help us be men." But Chavez deployed thoughtful strategies and tactics that were the basis for the movement that incorporated fasting, prayer vigils, peaceful demonstrations, and picket lines to draw attention to the plight of farm workers. In fact, back in 1975, Chavez led one of the most masterful and largest boycotts in the nation by persuading U.S. consumers to boycott table grapes. The boycott changed the purchasing habits of over 17 million Americans. And as a result of his adherence to nonviolent methods and actions towards growers and agribusiness, he won major victories that included worker contracts that covered well over 100,000 farm workers, helped to raise their wages, funded health plans for them, and created a pension plan for those workers. But Chavez didn't stop there. In fact, he fought to mandate changes such as having access to clean water by improving water standards and improving sanitation conditions for workers in the fields. He had witnessed pregnant women exposed to pesticides and saw the genetic effects it had on their children. He was truly, in many ways, an environmental justice champion for his time. We know he fought hard to limit the exposure to DDT and methyl bromide and its use in the fields. And to this very day, we continue to regulate the use of pesticides and other dangerous chemicals that pollute our water table and watersheds. His strategies and methodology were far-reaching and had larger impacts on our society. He raised public consciousness of environmental degradation on workers' lives and the environment. And after many years of advocating, he saw the formal recognition of landmark legislation signed into law by then Governor Jerry Brown to protect the collective bargaining rights of farm workers. The Agricultural Labor Relations Act, known as the ALRB, was signed back in 1975, and the UFW was now fully a legitimate union being represented well and allowed and guaranteed the right to collective bargaining. I suppose that now it's safe to say that not only was Chavez a skilled social justice leader, a community organizer, but also an environmental justice champion as well. Because of his leadership on behalf of farm workers, the U.S. Congress in 2007, after much hard work, voted on a bipartisan vote to request a national park study on the feasibility of creating the Cesar Chavez Park Unit. And when I was a member of the House of Representatives, one of my first bills was introduced as H.R. 359 in 2001. The premise of the bill was to honor Cesar E. Chavez by authorizing the Department of Interior to study lands important in the life of Cesar Chavez for possible inclusion into the National Park Service system. And the same idea existed because we had gotten the idea based on Dr. Martin Luther King. There is a trail that's been developed in the states that he traveled and did much of his work. And I thought at the time it would be fitting if we could also provide that same kind of recognition to Cesar Chavez. But of course, like anything else worth fighting for, it took many reiterations and reintroductions of the bill before the National Park Service in 2011 finally released a study to establish a location in honor of Cesar Chavez. The Park Service finally declared that the National Chavez Center at Nuestra Señora Reina de la Paz warranted national significance and determined the official site dedicated to Chavez. And last year, on October the 8th, I had the opportunity to join President Barack Obama officially dedicate the Cesar Chavez National Monument. Under the Antiquities Act, this is the 398th site included in the National Park System. It is founded in the Tehachapi Mountains of Kern County, the breadbasket of our nation, and it is commonly referred to as La Paz, which means the place of peace. It was the official headquarters for the UFW and location where Cesar Chavez lived and conducted major planning sessions and fasting to draw attention to the suffering and plight of farm workers in America. Chavez will be remembered by many as a great American hero who dedicated his heart and his soul to the cause, or commonly referred to as La Causa. In addition, last year I had the great privilege in March of 2012 to induct the pioneers of the farm worker movement in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Department of Labor at the Great Hall. Yes, this was the first time that a major Latino leader would be permanently recognized alongside with Dolores Huerta, the co-founder of the United Farm Workers. Their signatures are proudly displayed alongside many famous labor leaders in our nation's history. Adjacent to the display stands an auditorium that is now named after Cesar Chavez, with an 8-foot mosaic tile display of Cesar Chavez. The artwork was submitted by a group of students from Phoenix, Arizona, participating in an at-risk program. This, for me, was one of my proudest moments to pay special honor and tribute to one of our iconic figures in the American Latino culture. And as we move fast forward to the present day and age, I'm reminded of Chavez's teachings and how appropriate it is to reflect on his legacy and what it symbolizes for us today in the 21st century. We as a nation continue to struggle to improve the quality of life for workers in many professions, but are reminded that many vulnerable populations continue to be faced with exploitation in the workplace, whether it's in the fields of the Imperial Valley or Immokalee, Florida. Workers picking tomatoes in the hot, baked sun. Chavez's work reminds us of the struggles many people still face. But let me say that so much has happened in the past 50 years. So much has improved because of the technological age of media and the internet. Why we now know more about worker conditions and improvements in the workplace by clicking on a computer and being able to monitor working patterns and violations in many industries, not just farm workers, but miners, hotel workers, and warehouse workers. We have seen so many advancements in the workplace that have reduced the number of workers needed in many of these labor-intensive sectors. Robotics and advanced manufacturing have improved our production capacities by far. Unfortunately, Chavez might think that today the farm worker movement has given way to a new worker movement taking place in our urban communities and sprawling metropolitan areas. And while Latinos and other minority groups are disproportionately represented in the hospitality sector and construction industry, the low-skilled immigrant Latino still faces hardship and discrimination. Yes, there are fewer unionized farm workers now than when Chavez was leading the UFW, but our society has also changed. We see more Latinos migrating from the fields to cities and suburbia for job opportunities because this is where the jobs exist. And nevertheless, many of these industries are not unionized and do not have collective bargaining agreements for many reasons, often because they exist in places known where collective bargaining is not allowed, in what we call right-to-work states. Some folks are of the opinion that unions have outlived their usefulness and are a drag on the economy, but much can be blamed on the fact that globalization and worldwide competition has changed the way that we do business in this world. And many of the manufacturing jobs and jobs requiring low skills have moved to other countries that pay workers less and provide cheap labor for business. The new word to describe this exodus of jobs is known as outsourcing. So the question becomes, how do we keep true to Chavez's teaching in such a competitive environment? Well, maybe Chavez would be delighted to know that back in 2008, the U.S., the United States, elected its first former community organizer, the first African-American president named Barack Obama. Obama worked much as Chavez did in organizing the voiceless in low-income areas in South Chicago. He fought for housing rights, educational equity, and voting rights. Today, I believe Chavez would be proud to know that President Obama's administration continues to fight on behalf of folks that seek fairness along with dignidad and respeto, dignity and respect. Remember, just 4 short years ago, this president inherited the worst economic recession of our time. It was called the Great Recession because we saw the hemorrhaging of more than 8 million jobs. Well over 12 million people were found unemployed, and many found themselves without housing and with any employment for the first time. Job loss was astronomical in housing, in banking, construction, and in manufacturing. Even the public sector suffered from major losses of teachers, firefighters, and law enforcement officers. It was no secret that Latinos and African Americans suffered the most in this recession, with unemployment rates as high as 16 to 13%. The president took immediate action to stimulate the economy in 2009 by passing $787 billion Recovery Act. The purpose was to put people back to work, to provide unemployment insurance, enhance safety and protection in the workplace, and provide job training opportunities to workers that had been dislocated. My role as Labor Secretary was to quickly disperse vital funds to reduce unemployment, and I was able to distribute about $67 billion to achieve this goal. And about $500 million went to job training in green job sectors that focus on renewable energy, conservation, solar panel installation, and advanced manufacturing. In fact, about $150 million was set aside to provide grants named Pathways Out of Poverty for communities that experienced 16% unemployment in mostly minority communities. These efforts were unprecedented and required a new way of thinking. But one important fact remained, and that was that workers, whether Latino, Asian, Black, or underrepresented youth, did not have adequate job skills, they would suffer the most in this recession. Therefore, providing essential job training and opportunities for these targeted populations would be essential. Those individuals that possessed better skills and education fared better, especially with the college education or specialized technical skills. At the height of the recession, we saw about 7 applicants for one job, and now it is down to about 3.3 applicants for one job. But that isn't good enough, because more needs to be done to prepare our workforce to be competitive. And that's why, since 2009, over 1 million workers have received some form of industry-recognized credentials to help them set themselves apart in a difficult and competitive job market. The president has also made significant efforts in providing funding to education. He has set a goal to increase the number of STEM teachers by 100,000 in the next few years. His vision is to reduce the cost it takes to receive a college education by reducing tuition costs and loan indebtedness. In fact, he has funded more historically Black colleges and Hispanic-serving institutions than other previous presidents. But another important factor remains, and that is that we must continue to reduce the number of Latino and African-American high school dropouts in this country. Chavez would be amazed that with all the resources available, that they're not being put to good use to change the dropout numbers, particularly in our minority communities. The president agrees that something has to be done, and one way is guaranteeing that an education prepares you for a good job. And that is why he's proposing career academies at the high school level that will prepare all students for industry-recognized credentials. The model has been used in other parts of the country as well as in Europe. It makes sense for those students that need to find work after graduation, but certainly providing college opportunities and access for all is also a laudable goal and should also be exercised for those individuals that want to seek a 4-year college degree. And I've seen firsthand the benefits of K-12 education also working in tandem with community colleges and offering concurrent enrollment to students seeking more advanced credentials. Industry is demanding better trained individuals that have core STEM information and availability. Manufacturers complain that they're seeking welders, pipe fitters, and steel workers that can also drive a computer and not just a hammer. But this president knows that we must do much more to prepare our labor force by making investments in research and development that bring about new ideas in renewable energy, conservation, biomedicine, and engineering. We must build that cadre of workers here on our turf by investing in education for everyone. But this also includes a discussion on the current topic of immigration reform and the DREAM Act, both of which the president supports but will require bipartisan agreement in order to be signed into law. The president and some in Congress are seeking to reform our immigration laws to make it easier for those who come to study here and receive advanced degrees in engineering and STEM fields to obtain a green card and a pathway to citizenship. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but most new startup industries in the last few years have been created by immigrants with advanced degrees. It makes sense if we believe that these folks will stay and create businesses that will eventually employ many of our U.S. workers. The DREAM Act is another major focus of reform that could potentially help generate $1.1 trillion over the course of 10 years, because 1.2 million DREAMers would be contributing to our economy, paying into our tax-based system, and that will help, obviously, meet some of our public service obligations that we have. Chavez, in my opinion, would be leading the charge right now for comprehensive immigration reform. And not only as a morally right thing to do, but for purposes of economic security as well. Is the movement still needed? I think so. And I strongly feel that Chavez would agree. If he was alive, he would say a movement is needed. The problems with high school dropout rates, the number of men and women of color in our justice system is very high. High unemployment rates among minorities and youth will require a movement to meet these challenges head on. Whether it is making investments in education, furthering access to higher education for minorities, training workers for careers and not just jobs, these are things I believe Chavez would encourage us to take on. In fact, we all have a stake in Cesar Chavez's dream of equality and equal justice under the law. If we fail as a society, we continue to marginalize our communities. Business leaders know that if we are to be competitive and remain credible, they must have a diverse workforce, an adequately trained workforce to compete with those countries abroad. So I believe it's time for all community stakeholders to participate in making our nation stronger economically and bringing about change reflective of our diversity at every single level. And it begins with the idea that others like Chavez had to achieve, first of all, respect, dignity, and the opportunity to work and fulfill one's goal of achieving the American dream. As Cesar Chavez would say, si se puede. And as the President of the United States reminded us, yes, we can. With that, I want to conclude my remarks, but thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.